Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And you can tell I'm doing my best Ewan Rankin impression because the whole introduction just completely flew off the rails. And there you go. Yeah,
Like the
I
good
really
old
feel
days.
my inner Ewan, just like the good old days. Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. And I'm excited to get to hang out with all of you. Chuck, how's it going?
I'm good, Jeff, and I'm the reason that we blew the recording, but I want to be absolutely certain that my backup recording is running so that we capture all the wisdom here for posterity. So just you have to suffer through the blown introduction, but it's my fault.
You know, totally worth it. And actually, yesterday is a perfect example of why it's totally worth it, because several minutes into recording the big show, pretty much every app on my Mac took a dirt nap because of the macOS Big Lake Electron bug thing. And yeah, so I unceremoniously was gone for a couple of minutes from the big show, which means the recording I was making was completely worthless. So anyhow, people, this is why you back up, and this is why you have redundancy.
And as I recall, Jeff, we've probably needed about three times in the last how many years, but when you need it, you need it.
But so, when you need it, yeah, you really need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One was actually fairly recently because I forgot to enable the audio on the live stream.
Speaking of needing it.
Yeah.
Marty, how's it going?
I am so glad to be here on a Friday morning. This is like the last couple of Fridays have been, even one time I came into the chat room from a hospital. I'm just glad to be here in person for the time that I can be here this morning.
Well, I'm super happy you're here and that you're able to do it from your usual undisclosed location instead of from a hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in a very clearly disclosed location, Patrice, how are you? And I'm going to say it for the whole world to hear. Awesome background today.
From a disclosed location. Not sure, but okay, I'll take it. Yeah, I'm doing good. Week just flew by, travel and everything. I was the last 2 weeks basically traveling, and then came back Monday morning at like 1 a.m. and left at 1 p.m. for the next little trip. It was only a little trip, like that day in Austria, so not that far, but it's been a cool week. I was at my badge, the Matrix conference in France, in Strasbourg, which was really cool. Talked to really interesting people, met some people that work for ESA and for the German like army on Messenger, and like really just cool people all around. So had some really good food and good crepes and stuff, so. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I was sick in between as well. Like, great. I think from one conference, I got the conference flu, and then, like, fortunately was able to fight it before I went to the next one.
You
yay
know,
for
I,
my immune system.
Yeah, yay for your immune system. I remember going to big conferences like Macworld, CES,
mm-hmm,
long ago, and the joke name for conference crud, the mm-hmm conference flu, whatever, that I would hear back then was conference SARS.
Conference SARS. Okay.
Yeah, that hasn't aged well.
Nope.
Can't do that one anymore because you actually literally can get a version of SARS at conferences now.
It's true.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr.
Back
Gammon.
When we were so naive. Yeah. So Mac Show, this is the one where I end up having to bring the news instead of everyone else, like on the big show. But I figured out the loophole, which is to use the show notes that Dave Ginsberg creates the night before for In Touch with iOS. Now, Dave is incredibly generous and is like, yeah, just here, take my notes, use them. And so if Dave were here right now, I would be thanking him personally. But at least thanks to Chuck's diligence, we do have a backup recording of me saying, thank you, Dave. So the first news story, look at that. I had all that time to prepare and grab the link so that I could put it into the into the live chat, and I failed to grab the link. Well done, me. Here it is. So this one, I figured, Chuck, you would really like, because it involves analyst reporting where they are making conjecture, but as fact. And in this case, it's that Apple is drastically reducing production of the brand new iPhone Air because no one is buying it. And the report, and actually there are two articles related to this, so I will throw the other one in as well. And so supply chain orders are down like 80%, and the iPhone Air is apparently a complete dud, according to analysts. Now, keep in mind, Apple does not release any numbers.
Not anymore.
For sales. Not anymore. And this is a product that has been available for, what are we at, 3 weeks now? A month?
Around a little bit over a month, even. It was the 19th when they shipped, so about a month.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah, a little over a month. And, There you go.
So Jeff, since you threw the bait in the water, I'll hit it. And I will raise you an article also from Mac Rumors that iPhone Air sold out in China the first day.
But honestly, Chuck, there are a lot of no ones there because no one is buying it. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It all makes sense.
Oh, that was Marty. It took me a minute to get that, but I got it. This is just okay. So maybe Apple did cut back a little bit on the supply chain. This is a brand new product, and you know, it's the analysts. This is why, in my humble opinion, you see, you know, these wild swings in Apple stock. Somebody comes out with something negative, and it drops. A day later, somebody comes out with something positive, and it not only recovers but goes up. It is what it is. I don't think there's much question, judging by even just the anecdotal things that I see, that the regular iPhones or the iPhone Pros or Pro Maxes have sold better than the Air. But I'm still hearing from people that really like the Air. They like the idea of it. At the very least, they're really curious about it, and that may lead to a purchase down the road. So, you know, fine. Analysts, do what you want to do, but I wish you would just be quiet.
And overall, Apple stock is up, just because of the new product releases. And, you know, the reports and stories I heard yesterday was that people are loving the 17 series in general. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's good for Apple. It's good for Apple stockholders. I am a no one, and I have a Air, and it is. But they say, I hate it. Dave said last night, "Is this your daily driver?" No, it's the phone that it's the phone when I have a choice of two to pick up. When I'm going out somewhere, I pick up and take with me because it's light, it's accessible, and it will do everything I want to be done on an iPhone. So yeah, this is the one of the two that I choose to use all the time. And people that have them after they go to the store and make a decision not to get one, but those people who do have one absolutely love it.
When I went to the Apple Store to check out the Air, I went in like genuinely not knowing how I would react to it. Mm-hmm. But I did not have a preconceived notion like, oh, I bet I love it or I bet I hate it. And I picked it up and I'm like, oh my God. You get someone in a store, you put this in their hand, good luck getting them to not buy it. I mean, if they're in to actually buy a phone that day. I mean, it just, the physical and emotional reaction that I had when I picked up that phone, it was like, you know, if I had money to burn right now, even though this isn't the right phone for my use case, I would just buy one. And yeah.
Jeff, I mentioned the China story. And so one of the questions mm-hmm. that I would just theory I'd like to bring up, was this phone primarily created for the Chinese market? Because there was... Thank you, Siri.
She has
because,
opinion.
Yeah, apparently so. You know, there was enough interest in a smaller, lighter iPhone. And we've talked about that on all of our shows constantly. So maybe that's why it went worldwide. But was this really created with the Chinese market in mind? It's speculation, but I mean, that maybe the selling out may be evidence. I don't know yet.
Yeah, maybe. But before we go any farther, let's see if we can say hi to Dave Ginsburg. Dave,
how's it going?
How are you? It's
got a little delayed
well.
In
great
meeting.
It
looks
you.
Like my new role is going to be. Are you going to have me okay?
Oh yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, my new role. I've already gotten in like three meetings this morning.
So. You know, your new role is master of meetings.
The life of a star. The life of a star.
Sure.
The key word. Hey, vulnerabilities.
Yeah. I did want to follow up with one thing that Marty said about the Apple stock price. It's not just up, it's been bumping up against all-time highs this week too. Mm-hmm. So just for the sake of completeness, I wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yeah,
yeah, it's 262. It's going to be right at its all-time high in about a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dave, just so you know, we're talking about iPhone Air sales analysts saying that
Schrodinger's iPhone sales?
Schrodinger's iPhone sales.
Yeah. Yes. Fine conversation. They're failing and being the best ever at the same time. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. So, Dave, also, now that you're here, thank you for letting us crib from In Touch with iOS Always. Show notes.
Always.
Yeah.
Let me make a wild prediction since Mac Rumors is making wild predictions in both directions. The Air 2 or whatever they're going to call it next year will come out with an additional camera in it. They're going to find space or going to move something around so there'll be a second camera. And the Air 1 will become one side of a foldable phone.
I love this prediction. We have a prediction document for next.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Patrice, we should add that on just as a notable prediction.
The complaints about the Air and the concerns about the Air is that people want another camera in it. Trying to find space to do that with, I think, is what Apple engineers will be dealing with if they're going to design an Air 2. This might also be a scenario where the Air comes out every other, refresh system. So... You know, maybe there won't be an Air 2 next year, but I think the goal will be to have another camera in it to kind of branch it closer to the Pro, but not the Pro or Pro Max kind of line. And then, you know, the idea is you've got a phone this thin, you slap another one and attach it to it with a, and the other one won't have a camera on it. It'll just be a flat slab, thin slab. Mm-hmm. The backside of that slab is your front facing, you know, where you can work with the phone outside of having to have it open. So yeah, that's my wild and crazy prediction.
I like that idea. And as you're saying it, it brings me back to a thought that I've had more than once, which is, where would a foldable device like this have more value for me, in a phone or in a tablet? And I'm feeling like, for me, give me something that folds up to the size of an iPad mini. And when I unfold it, I've got this bigger tablet. And I think for me, at least, there'd be more value in that. But I totally get that a lot of people want to have the foldable phone. And I presume, at least for today, my use case is different than the people who really want the foldable phone.
Jeff,
I want the Knowledge Navigator. That's what I want.
Well, yeah, well, who doesn't? Jeff, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting because I've looked at the way that I use my phone and it makes perfect sense to me. I look at the way that I think I might use a foldable phone and I struggle with it. To your point, though, I look at the way I use a tablet and that makes sense to me. I look at the way I might use a foldable tablet, and a foldable tablet makes a little more sense. But as more with the tablet than with the phone, there's the issue of, you know, setting it up so that I can watch, I can consume content on it, or that I can conveniently look at it and scroll through information as opposed to holding it. And so, you know, what's that going to do to the case situation? How is a case going to have its own little origami thing going? Or are you going to have two pieces of it? I don't know. It's just, I'm really anxious to see both how the third party vendors adapt to it, and also how I as a user might adapt to it.
Well, we have models for what foldable phones look like with the external screen once it's folded up. I imagine if they do a foldable tablet, they're not going to have a third screen on the back, like a large foldable phone. It's just going to be a matter of convenience for being able to fold it and carry it in a smaller form factor, not necessarily providing an alternative use purpose other than you open up the tablet and you got a tablet. You open up the phone, you've got a mini tablet, and you close the phone, you've got your phone. So, yeah.
Maybe you have a really small phone in your pocket, and when you open it, you've got a big phone, like a flip phone, basically.
Yeah. That could, yeah, I could see that, too. Yeah. All right. I want to keep us moving because... because we have important people here. I mean, Dave has meetings. Marty is Marty. So,
okay.
You know, Marty's full name is Marty F. Gensius, and we all know what that F stands for.
Foldable.
Marty, foldable Gensius.
Marty, foldable Gensius. Okay.
Here, I'm going to fold for you right now on camera. There you go.
If you want to see the full fold, go to Marty's OnlyFans page.
Yes.
We need to get Marty
or
a
no
t-shirt
fans.
For Mac.
I have a no fans page, actually.
No fans.
We need to get Marty a t-shirt next year for Mac stock that says foldable.
This could happen. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, next story. This is one that I have no idea where it came from. I can't remember if it came from Dave's show notes, if Marty found this one, or if it came from somewhere else, because, you know, mind like a goldfish. Anyhow, Apple is saying that it may have to turn off app tracking transparency in Europe due to intense lobbying. And here's a quote that Apple made earlier to German press agency, or earlier this week. Intense lobbying efforts in Germany, Italy, and other countries in Europe may force us to withdraw this feature to the detriment of European consumers. We will continue to urge the relevant authorities in Germany, Italy. I made a new country, Germany, which is Germany. When Germany okay. and Italy became Germany. A single country. Yeah. So Germany, Italy, and across Europe to allow Apple to continue providing this important privacy tool to users. And it looks like advertisers are not happy with the transparency feature.
So is this just Apple phones they're planning on doing this with, or is it going to be every phone will not be allowed to do transparency? That's a rhetorical question, sort of. Is this picking on Apple, or does this mean every user in Europe is going to have a crappy experience because they're going to get tracked for ads?
Well, yes. I believe, yes. Yeah. I would assume that since this isn't an Android feature, it's not going to have an impact on Android users. Unless Google decided to add that as a feature to Android OS. It would change the experience for Apple device users. And since the complaint that's been made to EU regulators is that Apple is being anti-competitive, I can see where the arguments would come into play that hey, if Apple can do their tracking, but we can't, that's an unfair advantage, and that argument ultimately leading to Apple either by choice saying fine, we'll just shut the feature off, or being forced to by the regulatory bodies. Yeah, you know, that's a real downer for the show.
Well, the thing I keep looking at stories like this on, and where are these intense lobbying efforts coming from? Because I have yet to talk to anyone online or in person, or anywhere that thinks the app transparency tracking is a bad idea. So it obviously is coming from. The only people that seem to be in favor of it are certain large vendors or certain large social networks like Facebook.
Facebook has been very vocal about their disdain for this feature.
Right. But, but real users with, that are interested in protecting their privacy, what's the objection? And yet the government seem to be folding in on this, and so it makes one wonder, are they just as anxious to have it turned off as organizations like Facebook?
Well, I don't think it's individuals that are complaining.
Right.
It's businesses that rely on the tracking for revenue that are complaining. Which would make sense, because if I have the option, I don't want my information harvested and tracked. But I can see where so many of the services and apps that I use would really love to be able to do that.
I mean, of course, because that's how they make money.
Right.
I mean, it's like Facebook, especially Meta, right now they're like doing... They're basically forcing people to make a decision. They have a screen where it's like, hey, you have to, and you cannot pass it. Hey, you have to make a decision. Either you give us money or you accept personalized ads or ads, not personalized ads. Like you can still disable the personalized part, but or you accept ads and we sell you data. Well, mm-hmm. either you pay for it and we sell your data or you have ads and we sell your data.
Either way, we sell your data.
Exactly. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's where we are in Europe. And that is, by the way, being litigated right now because the EU is saying, well, that's also not okay. It's basically pay to play, they're calling it. Not sure I agree, but just their argument.
Yeah.
They're saying it's not really a choice. You cannot choose not to do either of them.
Yeah. And I can see why that that would be a compelling argument.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe on a political stage, yes.
On a political stage, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because the politicians are representing not just the individual people, but also the companies.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to waffle a little bit. But, you know, it's just one more example, I think, of it's if you have any doubt about whether your personal habits, information, what you do, what you buy, where you go, has value to somebody, this is clear evidence. Just one more piece of very clear evidence that it absolutely is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, unless anyone has anything else to say on that one, we have another piece we can move on to. And this one, I do remember where it came from, and it was Marty who found it. So it would really help if I put the link in the right place. There we go. Okay, Apple is already shipping AI servers that are being made in the United States. And, excuse me. So these are servers that the company is building in its Houston factory. For those of you outside the United States that may not be completely or intimately familiar with U.S. geography, excuse me, Houston is in Texas. And
good to know.
So, yeah, good to know. And Houston and Austin both have a lot of Apple facilities. So, quote from an Apple statement about this: "We're thrilled to be shipping American-made advanced servers from our Houston facility as part of our $600 billion commitment to the United States. These servers will be installed in our data centers and play a key role in powering Apple intelligence with private cloud compute. Our teams have done an incredible job." Blah 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 blah. Anyhow, so yes, they're producing these, but for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
and in this case, it might actually be cheaper to do that.
Yeah,
you know, it's low volume things. So don't benefit as much from like offshoring and doing production in China. And still maybe a little bit, but also they have the advantage that they can also iterate quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Right, someone can just fly or drive over there and do it. Change it.
Yeah. While we have talked on many shows about Apple's commitment to artificial intelligence and how on many levels it appears the company is floundering, The fact that they are producing their own AI hardware for their own use does add a little to the argument that, hey, just because Apple's behind doesn't mean they aren't trying to be serious in this game.
This was part of the Tim Cook, when they say the $600 billion, this is part of the Tim Cook bribe, I would imagine, in order to do business. And
yeah, the bribe that wasn't a bribe because the commitment was already announced, and then later on became a bribe when it was convenient to let politicians think that they came up with the idea and Apple's like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. And I think you pronounced it wrong. They're Merkin made.
Oh, Merkin. Yeah. My bad.
And we know the derivative of that word, but
I think, yeah. That, you know, I think this is almost political judo in some ways that, you know, yeah, okay, if you want to call it a bribe, you can call it a bribe, but, you know, we still got something out of it. And, you know, it satisfied somebody else's agenda. So good for you, Apple. You know, well played.
I mean, I agree. I just say bribe just because to provoke people.
Yeah, you know, wow. Okay. I believe I'm going to paraphrase what you were saying, Chuck. Apple is doing something that's in their own best interest, and letting that also serve another interest that they have, which is appeasing politicians.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is part, I mean, which is no matter the political whatever winds that are blowing right now or in any time, part of a job of any company, or especially any big company. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes more, sometimes less. But if you want to get something done and you want to your government to go in a certain direction, you sometimes have to appease them a little bit and say, okay, I'll do this, but then you don't do that. Might not say it that obviously, but it's kind of that's the idea.
You were talking about chip tariffs, basically.
For example. very good example. No, but I mean, this happens all the time. I mean, it's like, oh, we want to build a headquarter here. Can we get tax breaks? Oh, the tax breaks are not enough. Okay, then we'll go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So yeah. the same business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they.
That's how we get. That's how we get breaks. American football. That's how we get American football stadiums in our our country. Yeah. New stadiums built.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could go on an extended political diatribe about that, but this is maybe a fun show, technology show. I won't soapbox on that.
You will not soapbox.
Really? Wow. Yeah, but you know, think about it this way. All right. So the idea of I might not get a corporate headquarters in my town if I don't give enough tax breaks is probably not going to bankrupt my town. Some of these tariffs and some of the political things that have been thrown around by this administration represent potential existential threats to these companies, no matter how much money they have. You know, if things are put in place, it can just stop those companies in their tracks. Mm-hmm. And so Patrice, feel free to disagree with me.
I disagree slightly on there. Yes, for some companies that are not able to adapt, that is a risk. But I have to say, usually where there is disruption, where there is strife, there's also potential for other companies to thrive in that environment. History is showing that.
Absolutely. So, you know, but that then we get into a big debate on protectionism. Yes.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
So, you know, one yes. one person's existential threat is another person's opportunity.
Yeah. So, but it's still, you know, who gets, like, what, is it a net positive or a net negative? That is the question at the end.
It depends on where you sit. Yeah. So
I love this. Chuck is going full Don Quixote on this. I've never seen this side of you, Chuck.
And Jeff is the windmills? I don't know.
Yeah.
Ow.
No, Marty, I just, you know, I think it's important to really keep it all in perspective. Is why I bring it up, because it's so easy to jump to one side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle. And, you know, and it's like, no, get right there on the fence, on a nice high fence, so you can look down and see both sides, and then start to try to make some intelligent decisions. Mm-hmm. Because there's too much right now that, oh, I'm on this side, I'm on that side, and therefore that's the right thing.
Yes.
You know, that's the part that really is disturbing me, not just about this story, but about a lot of tech stories and a lot of other stories, too.
Mm-hmm. Dave, you've been very quiet.
Yeah, I haven't much else to input on this. You guys have covered most of it, so.
All right, well, I wanted to make sure that if you had something to add, you had the opportunity.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I know everyone's busy, busy, busy. So, how about we talk about the live stream and how that works. Patrice, can you help me with that?
I don't know. I think I have to check my tariffs first and see if I can help you with that.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, no,
if it's an existential issue,
yes.
I'll make Dave do it.
Okay. No, I think I can do it. So we have a really cool live stream. Live.britishtechnetwork.com is where you can go when we're recording, which we do every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for this very show. Also, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. If you want to hear us talk about, or hear some of us, at least with some other people, talk about the non-Apple side of technology, because there's tons of other stuff that's going on. By the way, I should mention, if you're hearing this in time, sometime before next week's shows are all over the place for the people in the US, because daylight savings is over in Europe, so on Sunday night we're switching back, and I saw the US does it on November 2nd. So only a week, but still everything is off by, well, 1 hour, some direction. Look at our social media, we're going to post after this show. Like the exact show times for you. And if not, as I said, it's always 4 p.m. UK time in UK for this very show. We have a transcript, britishtechnetwork.com/chat, where you will, for example, find all the links to the articles and stuff that we've talked about, the cool things, but also the transcript of very intelligent comments from our chat room, like from Bob Beach, for example. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
To pick today's date, October 24th, 2025. You will see it.
Awesome. And we do have a sponsor, AWE Technologies. They are making sure we have all of the resources we need so we can live stream and have a place for all the show recordings to live so you can watch or listen at your leisure. So thank you for that. AWE Technologies takes care of all of your monitoring needs on your production site. And for example, if you need to have a video monitoring of a railroad construction location, they've got your back and they're very good at what they do. So go check them out. AWE Technologies, it's awetechnologies.co.uk. Thank you, AWE Technologies, for being our sponsor. And that means it is now time for some cool things. And what I'm going to do here, because I know how busy everyone is. Marty, if you have your cool thing ready, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'd love to. I not knowing the norms here, So what if I present a product that's not Apple?
That's okay. It's your whole right. thing.
I'm putting this in the chat. One of the things I picked up yesterday was a Samsung Galaxy XR. And that goes along with the fact that, you know, we're doing I do a show with Dave and with some other folks on Vision Pro and called Vision Profiles. And this arrived. I just had enough time last night to set it up. And then after podcast, I played with it a little bit further. It is very, very, very cool. It's not quite Apple cool, but of course the Android ecosystem I'm not as familiar with. It has a, I would kind of say a lengthy setup. Now that could have been because I was trying to navigate around doing this on an Android platform. But it is really pretty user friendly in the process of setting it up. And the clarity on it is really quite good. It does some interesting things that are different than the Vision Pro. We'll talk more about this on Monday's Vision Profile recording. We'll talk about the M5 and we'll also talk about this device. But I got to tell you, it's coming in at $1,800, and that's a little over half the price of a Vision Pro. And for all functionality and intentions, it's pretty good. You are using the Google Play area, Play Store, and apps that are available for that. You have a whole fresh Google Docs arrangement with it now that's different. And and kind of taunting Apple, it has a YouTube app that is a native YouTube app for this Galaxy XR. And even in their presentation, they kind of taunted Apple a little bit about the YouTube app, but also about Netflix, because Netflix is not on the Vision Pro. And the Netflix app is a ported version of their tablet app. It's nothing special right now, but so far it's really pretty good. It's 250 grams less in weight than the M5, and it took me a couple of times to get it adjusted and to realize that it had some extra seals that you could put in. And once I took those out, because I assumed they needed to be there, I had a really close view in the optical lenses. You can go online and you can look at comparisons between the M5 and the Samsung Galaxy R, and it is frighteningly close. Almost exactly close. So I think this is going to be a challenge for, now I don't, like I said, I don't have the Galaxy, I'm not in the Galaxy environment or the Android environment. So for me, this is kind of going to work as a standalone, besides some of the Google stuff that I have to do for work. I'm not going to get a tablet. I'm not going to switch over my phone and all the apps that I use on that, you know, so it's just a really remarkably interesting device.
All right, cool. And tell us where people can find you.
If you go to the podtalk.net, that's the website, that has all the links to the shows that I do, Vision Profiles on Monday night. I joked last night on Dave's show, now I'm going to start one called Galaxy X Files. No, I'm not going to do another podcast. But there are other podcasts I'm involved in.
Yeah, why not? You say that. Yeah.
You say that now. Yes.
Other good podcasts that I'm involved in, you can find on the podtalk.net. Tuesdays with Chuck on Mac Voices, Thursdays with Dave. And when I'm not stuck in a job or stuck in a hospital, I'm here on Friday mornings.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. All right.
I got to go. Thanks.
Thanks, Marty. Able to join us today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we'll move on to the rest of the cool things. And Dave, you have the next one.
We all have these big giant bricks for power, but I thought this one was kind of cool. It's made by a company called Mfish. This is it here. It's got 140 watts of total power at the top there, so it'll go 140 watts at its peak end, all the way down to its 20 watts for the USB-A. So it's got some nice ports. It's a little smaller than most. Kind of cool colors. I like it. Yeah. Kind of like the scheme of it with the green, and it comes some other colors too. It's kind of fun.
How does the power distribute? Is it 140 total, or is it?
I have my blur on, but yeah. It's if you see right there, yeah. That one's marked at 140. Then you got 100, and then
Because usually
20.
Usually, yeah. How the bricks work is like it has a max of 140, and if you only use one port, it will do 140. But if you use multiple, it will dig down. That's why I was asking what the total max is, basically. But okay,
140 is the total max. But okay. it'll as most bricks do, it'll go down lower when you plug other things.
Yeah. Okay.
That's like an iPhone or an iPad. Yeah. But yeah.
That's still plenty for travel, especially. Plenty. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. So I have it sitting up next to me here with a place to have, so I can have some stuff to plug in. Mm-hmm. The one I bought was actually through directly through them. They actually had a nice little case with it, and then they had a really long cable that had those the plug adapters for whether you need have lightning or if you have a USB-A, and you pull them out. And, I have it handy here, but this one I share is just the brick, and it's $49 with the discount through Amazon, the link I provided. So. Check it out. It's made by Mfish.
Awesome. Very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay. Then, Chuck, you're up next.
This is something I've recommended before, but I just had the need, and it reminded me of just how much I really love this stuff. This is AuxTech's 10-foot, 1/2-inch cord protector, wire loom tubing cable sleeve, split sleeving for US for basically for cables. It's a cable manager.
Rolls off the tongue.
But that said, go check it out if you have a cable management issue that you really want to get under control.
Trust me, you do have one.
Yeah. Under your desk, you know, it's you're still going to be able to use it, but it's especially useful in those places. Let's just say a TV mounted on a wall where you have, you know, some kind of cable to your cable system if you're still using cable, but if nothing else, just the power cable. It is so easy to put on, and I've tried a lot of cable management systems, and they all are just annoying to the point that I end up not bothering. This is so easy to use. It can be cut to length. So for the price you have here, which is $8.99, you get 10 feet of this. It's like a mesh thing, but it wraps. How do they say it? It's a split sleeve. So it's not like you have to feed it in and then feed it through. Mm-hmm. You just sort of wrap it around. Mm-hmm. And so it makes it easy to put in. It makes it easy to take off. It makes it easy to add another cable in, as you know, up to obviously a certain size. But it just, I can't begin to tell you just how much I really like this and how much it changed certain places in my home into something that looks a little bit more organized than what's under my desk. So, you know, try it. It's not expensive, and I think you're going to love it. Dave, especially you, as you're redoing your office or your studio or whatever, it is something you are going to love because it will organize things.
I agree.
All right, very cool. And I have now tagged that because I'm going to have to go get some pretty soon, I think. Cool. All right. Patrice, what do you have for us?
So I have a tool that comes to you courtesy of a certain DocRock, and it is called Whisperflow AI. He introduced it to us, or to me, yesterday, and I've been trying it on yesterday and today. And I really like it. It is basically, it's a dictation app, right? So it's dictation, right? It shouldn't be crazy if you think about it, but it has a ton of features that basically all the other solutions that I've seen don't have, including Apple's own. Like One is it actually works, right? That's a good start, like, because Apple's does not.
That's a great start.
Apple's half of the time does not. Like, you dictate anything to the S lady and like half of it is wrong and it just didn't understand what you were doing. Plus, you also have to dictate the structure. Like, you have to say comma and period and whatever. The cool thing with this is you just talk. So like, if you want to dictate like an email or a text or whatever, and I used it quite extensively yesterday in a longer conversation with a friend, it will format things for you. You just talk like we would talk, and it formats it into a text. So if I'm saying something, I don't know, I'm like, oh, and then Jeff said this, it will put what Jeff said in quotes, for example. If I'm listing things and I'm like, I'm talking, and then I'm like, yeah, and then we went, I need to buy this and this and this and this, it will make a list out of that. So it's actually quite smart at figuring out what you said and how to format that in a way that a human would and all of that, and it learns over time as well. There is a free tier, it's not entirely free. Of course, like the advanced, the pro features, the team features and so on, they cost a little bit. It's not that expensive, I looked at it. But it works on macOS, on iOS, on like iPad and Vision Pro, I don't remember, but like Windows as well. I think it's not on Vision Pro yet, but maybe in the future. And it's just, I was impressed how good it actually is. It is, for the US, also important HIPAA compliant. So if you are a business in the medical field and you need a HIPAA-compliant like solution, this is it, right? So they have all the business features you need, but they also have all the features for individuals you need. And it's also well done. Like, the app is quite polished. It's easy to install. It's not super complex. Like, all of that. It's just click it, install it, works. And I got a month for free through Doc, and if you use my link, you will also get a month. So try that.
Awesome.
It's a really good app. As I said, I was impressed. Like, I was not impressed with any of the other solutions I've tested so far. This is the first one.
I'm going to have to try this out.
Fair warning, you will have the tendency to write a lot, right? If you're out and about and someone asks you something, you're usually pretty short, right? You don't want to type like long, like things, or you send a voice message, the other option, but that's really annoying. This actually, I was sending a lot of very long messages all of a sudden because I was like, I can just talk, and then here or there was like one or two things it didn't get 100% correctly and you had to correct, but mostly it was because I stumbled or changed my mind or whatever. And I still have to figure out, I think it also can do corrections. If you tell it to correct something after the fact or whatever, it will do that. It just, I haven't gone that far yet.
I'm now visualizing.
The first month is free. There is a free tier anyway, like for which I think for most people it's totally fine. It is $12 a month after. If built annually for Flow Pro.
Okay.
Monthly, it's 15. Features. Yeah. But you get unlimited. So the free tier is 2,000 words per week. It's not a lot, but depends on how much you're actually using it. 100 languages, also pretty cool. Like, I can eat without switching anything. I can send a message in English to one friend and then switch over in a conversation to another because it's just a keyboard and do something in German, not a problem. I don't have to switch anything, which is really annoying with iOS solution where you have to switch languages then. Might not be a problem for you, but for me it is. If you want the advanced one, you get basically unlimited for everything. You get command mode for editing, so that's something I want to test out. I saw that, but I haven't tried it yet. You get early access and priority support and all of that. You get also unlimited mobile usage. They have some limitations on the mobile side for some reason. Yeah, but $15 a month, if you're really using it all day, I think would be incredibly cheap.
Yeah.
That's super. There's cool. Also student discounts if you're a student, just saying. Yeah, give it a try. Docleaf seems to love it, so. And you know him.
Yeah, I could see where this could be super handy mm-hmm. when I'm writing a first draft of a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can often say my ideas in the order I want them faster than I can type them.
Yes. Yeah. It's really cool. The onboarding process, it lets you, it asks you to basically write a text message. You can skip it if you want to, but it basically shows you like, okay, let's write a text message. Now let's write an email. I don't remember what the third one was, but there was a third one, basically. There's like three things it asks you as a demo kind of to do. It's like, hey, just dictate whatever you want, dictate an email. And you just write it, you just basically say what you want to say in the email, and it writes an email for you. It doesn't send it anywhere, it's just cool. A text window at the end, but like, yeah, it's cool. And it worked really well, I was impressed. So it's that smart, so smartly done how they onboard you.
That's cool. So yeah. Bob Beach in the chat says, could it cope with Mueller's Bremy accent? I doubt it.
Try it.
I'm going to say
yeah,
it might work.
Yeah.
But the problem is the things that Mueller says, they would charge him a lot more just deal with it.
Yes. Yeah. I can tell you one thing. It seems to deal with my German English and German Portuguese accent just fine, which Siri does not.
Yeah. All right. That's super cool. I need to try this out. Cool. All right. Well, then my thing, I haven't brought Lego to the table for a while. So
wow.
It's time for that again. And this is a kit you can pre-order now. And it will be available on January 1st, 2026. This is the Time Machine DeLorean from Back to the Future. And It comes with Doc and Marty. It comes with the build pieces for the original version of the DeLorean, plus the lightning rod piece that they needed to get the power to go back to the future. And then it also has the pieces to make the Mr. Fusion version. And it's a cool little build. It's
inexpensive, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I totally missed what you said.
Inexpensive.
Surprisingly inexpensive. It's $27.99 US, and it's 357 pieces. So this is a kit that based on the dime a brick model, which is a good model to use for kits. They could do $35 for this kit and a little bit more because of it has two minifigs, mm-hmm. and it would still be a fair price. But $27.99, that's a great price. So I'm calling out this kit because this is actually the third Time Machine DeLorean that Lego has built. The first one was many years ago and was part of the Ideas Project. That's the one that I got and built, and it was really cool and a lot of fun.
And then it traveled forwards in time?
And when it traveled forwards in time, then it became a big, like, one of the ultimate Lego kits.
Okay.
And so... That was what, a couple years ago, and now we have this one, and this is the super affordable version. So it looks like a cool little build, even though I already have a DeLorean Lego. When this one comes out, I think I'm going to pick it up just because it looks like a really cool little build. So there we go, Lego Time Machine DeLorean, and. With that, now it's time to wrap up. And Dave, since you joined late and you didn't get to participate in much, is there anything you want to add or talk about before we actually wrap up?
Other than Marty's totally... nuts by butt. Marty's mm-hmm. nuts by buying both an M5 Vision Pro and the Samsung at the same time.
Oh yeah, Chuck, when are you buying your M5 Vision Pro? Yeah. I mean, when right. are you buying our M5 Vision Pros?
Yeah. What am I going to have to ship it back and forth across the ocean so you can enjoy it, Patrice? Is that the
no, you can know, order one in Germany. It's not a problem.
Oh,
yeah, it'll just be easier to buy one a unit for each of us instead of one to share.
Yeah, I would say so.
I was going to buy one for Patrice, and then that gives me an excuse to travel to Germany. So that
well, there's an idea.
Oh, there you go.
Start there. That's a good start.
Yeah.
And Dave, you're right. When Marty said, "Yeah, my M5 Vision Pro," this is on In Touch with iOS last night.
Yeah,
he says my Vision Pro is sitting here in a box on the floor. I haven't opened the box yet. But hey, look at the Samsung Galaxy.
Samsung right away.
And I'm like, wait, you bought both, and you opened the Samsung first. All I can figure is that there's a carbon monoxide leak in Marty's house, and it's impacting his cognitive abilities.
I think so, yeah.
Well, he does have deep pockets, too. So.
Yeah, clearly. Deep enough to hold a Vision Pro in one pocket and a Galaxy XR in the other.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty big.
But we still love you, Marty.
They're cargo pants.
they're not just cargo pants. They're cargo plane pants.
They're Marty's cargo plane pants. Yeah.
Another show title.
Marty, this is why you should never try to leave shows early. This is what happens.
This is what happens. It happens to me too. Instant In Touch with iOS will get posted today, and we had a good show, and we missed you, Chuck.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, had you been there, you would have been able to defend yourself.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, great. Now I have something I need to listen to.
Anyway, no, I'm good. You want me to tell everybody where I'm from or where I can be found? I'd be happy to do that.
I would love for you to do that.
All right. Thanks, and glad I was able to make it. And you can find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Vision Profiles on Monday nights with Marty and Eric, and you know that's going to be a full packed hour of things because we had a lot of things to talk about with Vision Pro yesterday too. So check that out on Monday nights. Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights with Chuck and Jeff and sometimes Patrice when she's up late at night. And then Thursdays we record In Touch with iOS, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. On the YouTube channel, as well as here on Fridays most weeks, and in social media is DaveG65 at Blue Sky and Mastodon.
Awesome. Dave, I'm glad the timing worked out that you're able to join us.
Yep, it was a last minute meeting. I snuck away as quick as I could.
And you know, we started the show with four people, and we're able to end the show with four people. So,
unless I kick someone.
Right. Or unless Zoom freezes on me right now.
Oh, that could also happen, yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, so I think we're winning at podcasting. Yeah. Hey, Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything. Since we got together last on the British Tech Show here, the Mac Show on the British Tech Network, I celebrated 20 years of podcasting. Wow. Which doesn't make
any
sense.
That's amazing.
That makes no sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever, yeah. Yep. We had a great conversation. I was able to bring back Doug Adams of Doug Scripps, who was also a guest on the very first Mac Voices show. So we sort of made things full circle, and it's worth listening to that because Doug has some really interesting observations on how automation has changed over the years. And he also talked about a music project that was kind of really off the wall. So check that out, along with all the great discussions we have with so many people. And I've got already some really interesting things in the can ready to go. So you're going to have a lot to work on in November. And on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner.
Chuck, 20 years. That's amazing. And I have to say, your show doesn't look like it's a day over 18.
But he has a can now. So we just heard it.
He does. in the can.
Yeah.
I have a what?
A can.
Your episodes are in the can.
Oh, in the can. Yes. 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 Yes.
Not in the fresh. Not in the cargo plane pants, but in the can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrice, where can people find you? Well, oh my God! Stop. Show me your nails. That's fantastic. They fit with everything else.
They fit with everything else. Yes. Yeah, it's Halloween.
That's fantastic.
For the people listening, not super interesting. Yeah, I have. There's like, it's kind of like, I want to say, it's like scales on my nail and then like a little eye on the middle. I don't know if you see, can see that. So, yes. It's cool design, man. My nail lady cat.
That's awesome.
Yes. Me every week here, almost every week here on the British Tech Network, Big Show, Mac Show, Thursdays and Fridays. Everything I'm doing, social media links, podcasts, projects, and soon, if I get to it, a blog post for the conference talk I did at the Matrix conference last week about Matrix as a bridge for a universal European healthcare ecosystem. That's also super interesting. Post it on LinkedIn already if you want to check that out. But website, thepatrice.com, you can also find that soon. And with Jeff, Matrix. And with Jeff, I have a really cool podcast called Retro Rewatch. We're showing our mugs. And it's not our faces, but like really physical mugs with our logo. episode 59 is literally just out like 10 minutes ago because I was traveling last week at the conference and did not manage to post in time. And I think last night I was like, okay, I'll just do it today because it's already been a week. So like I'll do it at the regular time. So sorry, we didn't have a show last week. My fault. But 59 is out forever in a day. Sometimes feels like this podcast. I don't know.
Yeah, that checks out. Yeah. All right. So then for me, Jay Gamut on social media. You can find me most active on Mastodon, Blue Sky, and PixelFed. And yes, you can see my daily Inktober drawings there. After we finish recording today, I will go and do the October 24th drawing. I have not looked at the prompt yet, so I cannot wait to find out what I'm going to draw. For shows, Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS. And Dave, how many years have you been doing your show?
I am approaching 10 years. Very soon.
That's amazing.
The concept started in 2015 when I met you, Chuck, and many others the first time at Mac Stock, and then I started it shortly after in 2016. So, yep, 10 years. So, kind of close to Chuck, but 10 years.
Close. Yeah, I think I'm already at 16. Oh. Something like that.
That's awesome. I am surrounded by podcasting greats.
You're in there pitching yourself, Jeff. Don't sell yourself short.
My friend.
You've had shows on and off.
Years and ones you have now.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely.
I get around.
You get around. No, you're the person who has, I think, the most podcasts in a week. I'm sure.
I don't know. Marty's giving me a run for my money.
That's true. Yeah. Marty with but different podcasts in the same week, maybe.
At least five, maybe six.
Yeah. So where did I get in the podcast list? I think I just got up to your show, Dave.
Yes.
Okay. So then rest of the list, Big Show on Thursdays, Mac Show on Fridays here on the British Tech Network. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And a little teaser for you. When we record our next episode, I will probably be talking about this fountain pen that I'm holding up right now. And then as Patrice noted, we do Retro Rewatch, and it is super fun. So cool. I'm glad we do that show, Patrice. Hey, Dave, aww. I love your mug.
Dave just grabs something as usual. He's like, oh, I got everything here.
You know how we make the joke that that everything's within arm's reach in Dave's office? I've been in his office, and I can confirm. You can say, hey, Dave, do you have a fill in the blank? And he will be able to spin his chair around, reach over, and grab it, whatever
not anymore,
it is.
Because the other desk is farther behind me. So,
well, give it time.
Give it time. You will find a robot or something that brings you whatever you need.
Right.
That moves you right straight back.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It'll be great. Okay. So, with that. Holy crap, this is just so much fun. I'm so glad we get to spend this time together. Dave, I'm glad you were able to hop in when you did. I'm glad Marty was able to be here up to the point where he was like, I've had enough of you people. Peace out. And took off. That's what went down, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Gonna go with
pretty
that.
Much.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, this is just so much fun. I look forward to my Friday mornings because I get to hang out with all of you, and it's an absolute delight. So thank you. Hey, everyone that watches, listens live, participates in the live chat, thank you for being here as well. I really am excited to get to spend this time with you too. I'm not just saying this to say it. It's true. Everyone that watches, listens to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of this as well. I'm so glad you're part of the BTN family. And our BTN family dad would be Ewan. So Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And Odd Technologies, thank you for being here and being our sponsor. Okay, so now everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac Show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.